A very good evening to you all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So today we're going to see a very, very important class. So I hope you all have got your Bible with you. So I request everybody to use the King James version of the Bible with you. Okay? I hope everybody has the King James version. Okay? If anybody doesn't have, they can download it and keep it ready. Okay? Everybody are having King James version? KJV Bible. Anybody needs any help for that one? Are you all okay, brother? Dear brothers?
Oh, yes, oh, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Saiji, brother, you have the King James version with you?
Yes, brother.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then. Okay. Emmanuel, brother, hope you also have a King James version with you.
Yes, brother, I have.
Okay, thank you. So, okay, we'll start. So, dear brothers and sisters, today, we're going to see a very, very important topic in the Bible. You see, it's very must that we should understand this topic very clearly from the scripture. So, we are going to see about man, how man is created. You see, what is the general thought about the creation of man? You see, before studying what the Bible says, let us look into what the other religions believe about the creation of man. And later on, we will study what the Bible says about the creation of man. You see, we will also see what the scientist has to tell, you see, about the man. The scientist, they believe that man was created from a amoeba and a protozoa and developed into a, you see, a chimpanzee, you see, a monkey, a chimpanzee, a gorilla, and a man developed, you see, from the Iron Age, and he has reached from the Stone Age to the Iron Age, and now he has come to the Computer Age. So future, what will happen to man? If you ask this question to a scientist, they generally tell that man passes on from this computer age beyond, you see, to the spiritual realm. So he goes on to the spiritual life. That's what the science basically. Okay, what about the other religion? What about their view? What do they say? The other religion says, and they believe, that man was created by God. He is a Paramatma. And as God is a Paramatma, a Atma, he has put that Atma into man. And thus man is created, you see, with God's Atma in him, God's portion within man. So when a man dies, actually that Atma doesn't die. The Atma, you see, the soul doesn't have death. That Atma leaves the man after his death and joins Paramatma. So that is how they attain, you see, moksha, you see, sadgati. So what happens to the soul? If you see, the soul is inside the man's body and it goes through the process, purifying process from birth to death. And after death, you see, man goes on to spiritual life, you see, where he goes and unites with God and attains eternal soul, eternal peace. So, therefore, you see, for this purification process, they believe that there is actually a seven, you see, reincarnation that has to happen for the complete purification of this human soul. A man is born and is dead. And after that one, to attain purification, he goes through different forms of life. He assumes different animal bodies, you see, and various other types of creations of God. Then ultimately, is born as a man. And in seven, you see, janmas, what will happen? His soul will get, you see, the eternal peace, eternal shanti will get. But dear brother, if you consider this concept, you see, of reincarnation, you see, Many believe that some people who have committed sin, you see, they are born in the other Janma, reincarnation, other life as a crow or a dog or a donkey, you see. But, dear brethren, is it really of much use that a man is born, reincarnated, or reincarnated, or what do you say, in the different forms? Does it really help mankind? If you see, dear brethren, we should think. Because, you see, if the crow or a dog knows that if he is in the past life, he was a man, and if he committed sin, that is the reason he is punished in this Janma to be like a dog, then the dog will have the opportunity to repent. If the dog doesn't know anything, where will the dog have the opportunity to repent? Dear brethren, none of the things what we see here are really proved. And moreover, you tell me, how many of the dogs know that today, you see, there are so many stray dogs that, you know, that they know that in previous life they were living in such and such state. Does anybody know? No. No, dear brethren, none of the donkeys or crow or anything, you take it any animal, they don't have any proof that they were living as man and committed such and such sin, hence they were born in such and such form. Hence, dear brethren, this is the concept and this is the, you see, belief of other religion. Okay, now let us come to Christianity. What does Christianity believe? You see, the thoughts of Christianity are also much one and the same. As soon as a man dies, his soul goes to heaven. And there our Lord Jesus Christ will be sitting on the great white throne and open the book of life and judge, you see, as per the sins, as per the works that are been recorded in the book of life. You see, and they will be judged. If they have sinned, they will go to hell. If they have done good deeds, they will go to heaven. So ultimately, everybody believes the same thought that the soul doesn't die, the soul goes to hell or heaven. Dear brethren, if the soul goes to hell or heaven, I believe that this soul is inside human body. This soul is captivated in the prison, you see, prison house of this, you see, body, where this, you see, soul is actually trying to escape from this body. And as soon as a man dies, actually soul is liberated from the body. The body is just a form, and it goes to mud, it goes to dust, while the soul goes to God and attains eternal peace. So ultimately, everybody believes that the soul doesn't die. Soul is immortal. Soul cannot be killed. Soul cannot die at all. Dear brother, if a soul is actually attaining salvation after man's death means, then we should rejoice. Actually, if somebody dies, no? But instead of rejoicing, you see, what do the people do? If somebody falls sick, they immediately rush to the hospital, take them to the nursing home, you see, and give them treatment. Why? They don't want them to die. But it's good, no? They're dying. You see, they're attaining salvation. They're getting peace. You see, they're being saved. Then why should we cry? Then, you see, even if somebody dies, they cry a lot. Why should they cry? No, they should be rejoicing. No, you should stay happy. Anyway, the souls are, they got the peace which they are actually expecting. So we should rejoice. But till now, even not to one case, somebody has laughed or celebrated his death in a very, very happy way, dear brethren. Okay, if the soul goes to hell or heaven as soon as a man dies, then why does the Bible say about the resurrection? Now, what is the resurrection for? We read in the Bible that there is a resurrection concept in the Bible. All the Christians have faith in the resurrection. Now, what purpose is this resurrection? If a man dies, his soul immediately exists from the body and is already gone to heaven, then what is the purpose of resurrection? You see, and many of the Christians, they don't get a proper answer. Some people claim that, it is the resurrection of the body. The soul is already there here in hell and heaven. Now, body will be resurrected and the soul will get united. Then do what? Then do what means? Then again, it will go to hell or heaven. What is the use? Already there in hell and heaven. Call them back. You see, just to reunite this, reunite this body to the soul, and again send that body with the soul to what? Hell or heaven? This is the concept where the Bible says. Where does the Bible say such thing, dear brethren? You see, where does the Bible say that the man is having a soul, it gets united with human body? You see, it's like a prison house, always carving to escape from this, you see, prison house of body. Where does the Bible say, dear brethren, why there is a resurrection at the second advent of Jesus Christ? We should think, dear brethren. And moreover, what is the concept of the soul? Soul is immortal. You see, the soul doesn't have any shape, size, weight. It's invisible. You see, can't see at all. You see, there's no weight at all. You see, and countless, countless of souls can be just put in a small lamp, like Aladdin Chirag, you know, a soul, a very big genie is put into a small lamp. Similarly, countless, countless of souls can be put into a small box and nothing will happen. Even then, there will be space for still countless stars. You see, still countless souls, sorry, souls to put into that box again, dear brethren. This is the idea of the soul. And you see, has anybody so seen a soul exiting from a human body? Nobody has seen. Today, we have so much of technology, infrared, rays, laser, alarm, CT scan, etc., etc., various types of technology there, brethren. Even a man can scan inside a human cell and see what is the cell composed of. Such is today's technology. Then, dear brethren, even in spite of all this technology, till today, nobody has seen a soul come out of human body and go to hell or heaven. You see, dear brethren, okay. This is the concept about human soul, you see, which everybody has, yeah, including Christians also. But what about animals? Does animal have a soul? Dear brethren, see, what does the Bible say? Let us read. Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter 19 and 20. Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter 19 and 20. Stephen, brother, can you read?
Yes, brother.
Read from the KJV version, brother.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes 3, is it?
Yeah, 3rd chapter 19 and 20. Everybody, please keep your Bible steady. There are a lot of verses to read.
Ecclesiastes 19:20. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence over a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all out of dust, and all turn to dust again.
if a human soul is going to hell or heaven, so similarly, animal soul also should go to hell or heaven. Some people tell, brother, there is no salvation for animals. Okay, forget if salvation is there or not. Okay, but what does the Bible say? Both goes to same place during the days of Noah. God gave salvation for the animals also, no? You see, then if that is the case, which of the animals can you take to heaven? Which of the animals can you take to hell? And how do you torture them? You see, dear brethren, there are so many questions we need to think before believing this concept of immortal soul. Dear brethren, for your surprise, you see, all these things what we told till now is unscriptural. You see, this is not what the Bible says at all. This is only the thought of the world. But Bible gives us a total different, you see, context. Bible gives us a total different idea, you see, and doctrine about the immortal soul. There are more than 40 verses in the Bible which says, That soul dies, soul dies. And there's not even one scripture in the Bible that says soul is immortal, soul doesn't die. But rather, there are more than 40 verses in the Bible that says that soul dies. So let us read a few of the verses. Ezekiel 18:4. Saishabudar, can you read Ezekiel 18:4 from KJV Bible?
All right, brother. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
See, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. Underline it, it shall die. You see, very clearly given now. Read verse 20 also, brother. Ezekiel 18:20.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
See, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. The soul dies, dear brethren. So, some people tell, brother, the soul who sins, it will die, brother. We are not sinners. We are God saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. Even then, you see, are we sinners or not? Yes, we are saved by the blood of Jesus. No doubt at all. But even then, after being saved by the blood of Jesus, we are still sinners as long we live in this flesh. We will remain sinners until our death. Therefore, Apostle Paul clearly said, you see, there is none righteous, not even one. Read Romans 3:10, brother. Romans 3:10. Shaji brother, please read.
Yeah, I'm pretty. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Not one. See, there is none righteous. Everybody are sinners. Therefore, Apostle John clearly said, if we tell that we don't have sin, then we become the greatest liar, it seems. Apostle John is saying, even after accepting Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. In spite of that one, you see, we are still sinners. It is only in faith that we are cleansed. You see, we will remain in sin till our death. Read, brother. 1 John 1:8, brother.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
See, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. There is no truth at all. Then we become liars. Therefore, our souls also die. Everybody's soul dies. Read Psalms 22:29, brother. Read, say, brother.
All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep alive his own soul.
None can keep alive his own soul. That means soul dies. No one can keep, you see, a soul from dying. All souls die. Read Psalms 35:17, brother. Psalms 35:17, Sajji brother.
Lord, how long wilt thou look on, rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the land?
See? Rescue my soul from their destruction. That means soul can be destroyed. You see? So soul can be destroyed, soul dies. Read James 5:20, brother. Everybody, please pay attention, make the notes of it. Any doubts, any questions you have, we are open to discussion at the end of the class.
Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
See, shall save a soul from death. That means soul dies. Devadren, you see, the Bible clearly says that the soul dies. You see, some people have idea that, you see, soul, it is invisible. Even if you take one sword and keep cutting it, what will happen? Again, life will come. You should be keep on laughing. Nothing will happen to the soul, you see. Even if you pierce the sword also, nothing will happen to the soul. What does the Bible say? The Bible says a sword can pierce through the soul. Soul can be pierced by a sword, it seems. Read, you see, Joshua 11:11. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Joshua 11:11? Emmanuel, brother, you're there? Okay.
Joshua 11:11. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe, and he burned Hazor with fire.
See, they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword. That means they cleanly cut off all the souls, it seems. Killed all the souls with sword. Read one more verse. Emmanuel, brother, read Luke 2:35, brother.
Luke 2:35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
You see, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. You see, dear brethren, so a sword can be pierced, you see, into somebody's soul. A pain will happen to them, not at the, you see, nothing will happen to them. Some people, you see, they would have witnessed a soul, the Atma standing before them. You see, if a vehicle goes also, nothing will happen. You see, that will keep on laughing. You see, immortal, because that soul doesn't have shanti. It will be roaming over and here and there. You see, dear brethren. And how to identify this soul? You see, how to identify this, whether it is a soul or whether it is a human being? You know, the people will tell, you should see if there is blood or not. If there is no legs, then it is a soul. You see, or else you should take a knife and, you see, cut it and see. If blood comes, then it is what? It is human being. If blood doesn't come, that is a soul. See, what does the Bible say? Whether blood is there in soul or not? Read Jeremiah 2:34. Vinod brother, can you read Jeremiah 2:34? Vinod brother, you're there?
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here.
Jeremiah 2:34.
Also in thy street in found the blood of the soul of the poor innocent. I haven't found it by secret search, but upon all these.
In thy skirt is found the blood of the soul. So, soul is not invisible. It is visible. It has got blood also. You see, some people think, you see, soul cannot eat. Or else if you start eating, it will eat everything. So many weird ideas, you see, about soul. Read Exodus 12:4. Exodus 12:4. Vinod brother, please read Exodus 12:4 also.
Okay, sir. Exodus 12:4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house. Take it according to the number of the soul. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb.
You see, many people believe that the soul never feels hungry. Here, what does it say? You see? His house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall they select a lamb. You see, according to the number of the souls who are supposed to eat the lamb, select a lamb for the Passover. Dear brethren, here, you see, it says the soul actually eats food. You see, a food is required. It has got flesh and blood. You see, it is not invisible. There is blood in it. A sword can pierce through the soul. Dear brethren, okay. Has Jesus said this somewhere where the soul dies? Yes. Jesus has said that one in Matthew 10:28. Santosh brother, please read Matthew 10:28. Santosh brother, can you read Matthew 10:28?
No time, brother. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Okay, destroy both soul and body in hell. So both can be destroyed. Jesus himself clearly said, okay, our soul dies. What about Jesus? My brother, Jesus' soul is immortal. It can't die at all. You see? But what does the Bible say? Read Matthew 26:38. Matthew 26:38. Stephen, brother, read Matthew 26:38, brother.
Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.
My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. His soul also died, actually. Actually, Jesus poured out his soul unto death. You see, Jesus is actually quoting a verse that is written about him in the book of Isaiah. You see, Isaiah 53rd chapter, verse 10 and verse 12, Jesus is quoting the same verse, dear brother. Stephen, brother, read Isaiah 53:10, brother.
Isaiah
53:10.
Yeah.
Stephen, brother?
Yeah, I'm there. 53:10. Yes, got it. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
You see? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Jesus' soul was offered on the altar as a sacrifice for sin. Remember this class about ransom? See, you can see in the image. You see, the second class ransom. Jesus gave a ransom for all. How can one man die for the entire world? It was because of one man's sin, Adam. Jesus died for Adam, and through Adam, as everybody are dying, by redeeming Adam, the entire generation of Adam was thus redeemed. Therefore, this verse says, Jesus made his soul an offering for sin. So Jesus' soul died. You see, dear brethren, therefore, we have that salvation. Read 12th verse also, Stephen brother. Read verse 12 also.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with many transgressors. and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
He poured out his soul unto death. That is what Jesus is quoting. Matthew 26:38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Jesus' soul was poured, you see, dear brethren, unto death. That means Jesus' soul itself has died. Means what about us? We will be immortal. You see, all our souls die. Dear brethren, there are a lot more scriptures in the Bible which clearly say the soul dies, soul dies, soul dies. Then, after seeing and hearing all these verses, naturally the question comes to our mind, then what is soul? Brother, then what is the meaning of soul? Yes. Today, we are going to see in detail. Remember, dear brethren, this class is going to there for 8 hours. Not today only. You see, that entire soul subject will take up to 8 to 10 hours. We usually take it on a full day. But we don't have any such leaves so that we can accommodate everybody in a single day and take this class from morning till evening. Hence, we will take in part by part. So it will go on for really many, you see, days together. So nobody should miss the class. Any doubts, I'm telling you, any doubts, any questions, without any hesitation, without any misunderstanding, or without any fear, please ask your doubts at the end of the class. We are really happy to discuss with your questions and share the answers only from the Bible. So your faith should be on the Bible. Okay? Now what does the Bible say of the soul? See, whenever you get any question from the Bible, where should we seek the answer? Tell me, where should we go in search for the answer? You're all there, brother. I want answer. Please tell me, where do we seek the answer for this question?
From scripture.
Yes, from the scriptures. Everybody, Binod brother, Emmanuel brother, Saiji brother, you're all there.
Yes, brother.
So all these questions, answer should be searched from the Bible only. Correct, Tom?
Yes.
Yes. Now, for this one, what we should do is that we should study the entire Bible about human soul. Then only come to the conclusion. So we should not take one concept, you see, or keep on something in our mind which is already fixed and come to a conclusion. See, we would have learned so many things since our childhood, and we should not come to a conclusion immediately. But we should study from the scriptures, each and everything from the beginning till end, dear brethren. See, all these classes, what all we have taken, how have we taken? We have not taken anything outside the scriptures. We have not taken any stories from outside from the world. We have not cracked any jokes or sang some songs just to please you. We have taught everything from the Bible, the correct, proper, clear interpretation from the Bible. So even this one also, we need to search from the Bible. How do you study the Bible? Hear a little.
There a little.
Very good. I expect some answers also. So that will be encouraging for everybody. Hear a little. Hear a little. Search the scriptures. None shall want or mate. None shall miss or mate. All the questions in the Bible as answer from the Bible. So the word soul, actually, you see, in the KJV, in the English Bible, comes first time regarding the concept of man, regarding the connection with man, it appears in Genesis 2:7. There itself, the definition of soul is clearly given, dear brethren. Read Genesis 2:7. Emmanuel brother, please read Genesis 2:7, brother.
Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, and nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
You see, here the creation of man is clearly given. God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then man became a what? A living soul. Dear brethren, you see, the Bible says man became a soul. Not that man had a soul. You see, man, you see, there was a soul infused into him. No. What do you say? God formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You see, God did not breathe into him the soul. No, no, no. God said, man was created, a body was created, into which a breath of life was put. Then man became a soul. Dear brethren, this is what the Bible teaches. Man himself is a soul, and not that man has a soul. This is the Bible definition of what actually soul means in the Bible. That man himself is a soul. Okay, now did God create? God formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. You see, dear brethren, what do you mean by God formed from the dust of the ground? That means that God made a small doll, like a clay. Did he make any doll? And did he breathe any life? And immediately, a man became a living soul? Dear brethren, when the Bible says that God created man from the dust of the ground, it means all the chemical elements and the compounds that are formed in this earth, God used it, you see, to prepare man, to create man. Like, for example, you see, if you say if man has a fat, yes, man is having a fat. With the fat only, you see, man was created. You see, with the fat, you know how much fat man is having. You see, a soap can be manufactured with the man's fat, it seems. And does man have water? Yes, man has sufficient of water to fill a barrel. Does man have iron within him? Yes, there is iron. You see, in man, you can manufacture a 2-inch nail. So much of iron is there in man. Does man have lime? Yes, man has lime, so that you can whitewash a 10-by-10 room. Does man have, a lead? Yes, the chemical lead is there within man. Does man have phosphorus? Yes. Does man have sulfur? Yes. All these things, you see, was used to create man. Hence, all these chemicals are there in human beings. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, whenever we feel sick, when we go to the doctor, what does the doctor say? Doctor says, oh, there is so-and-so deficiency, vitamin deficiency, protein deficiency, calcium problem is there, iron, you see, deficiency is there. Huh? So what do you mean by that one? Actually, protein, vitamins are not chemical compounds. Now, what would a doctor recommend? Doctor would give us the tablets, you see, or the syrup or injection. You see, just see the backside of the tablet or the syrup, they would have mentioned the chemical composition of it. So what is there? Calcium, protein, vitamins, magnesium, all the chemicals that are found in this earth, everything you see is there. It is in the same thing that God had created man. Hence, if something happens, man has to take those things only. You see, whenever we are admitted in very serious condition to the hospital, a doctor won't say, oh, he's become very weak, blood is very low, please get 1 kg of, meat, let him eat nicely, automatically blood will develop. No doctor will say. But what did doctor say? Immediately give him fruit juices. You see, nice vegetables, isn't it? Why? Because all the natural things, what man needs, are where? It's in only plants and trees, the fruits, vegetables, those things are recommended to eat. This is the way that God created man. Therefore, you see, man, how many bones he has? 206 bones. What about women? 205 bones. One bone less. You see, and the longest bone in human body is the thigh bone, and the shortest is in his ears. Therefore, dear brethren, such wonderfully God had created man. But today, there is no value for man at all. David clearly understood how God was created. You see, how God has created mankind. Therefore, he appreciated God. See, Psalm 139:14. Abhishek brother, can you read Psalm 139:14?
Psalm
139:14.
Psalm
I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
See, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My soul knows very well. Therefore, dear brethren, you see, how was man created? First, there was a body. You see, all the chemical compounds using that one, God created a human body. You see, so human body, what was there if you see? Eyes were there, you see, then nose was there, hands were there, legs were there, lungs were there, heart was there, blood also was there. But none of these things was functioning. Isn't it? None of this were functioning at all. Then, what did God do? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The word breath of life is actually the word spirit. Okay? The same words are used. We are just going to see all these things in a few moments from now. Okay? So God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then what happened? Then man became a living soul. The eyes that could not see began to see. The hands and legs which could not move began to move. The heart which did not pump began to pump blood. And Adam began to walk. This is how a man became a soul. Now, dear brethren, you see, body alone, you see, is not a soul. God, body was there already, body was created. But did he have life? You see, no. Did he become a soul? No. You see, similarly, only the breath of life. You see, did it make Adam to live? No, dear brethren. That was not a human soul, dear brethren. So, the two things are correctly required for a man to become a soul. That is body plus breath of life. You see, then only man will become a soul. Okay, now how do you understand this one? Like for example, imagine if a TV is there, that is like a body. Okay, just if you keep that TV, it will start functioning. Will the program come? No. So what has to be given? You see, for the program to come, current has to be given. Now the current has to be properly united with the, you see, body. Then only what will come? The program will come. You see, dear brethren, you see, the body, the TV is just like the body. You see, it doesn't, perform automatically. But that one, what is there? Current should be required. Then only man will become a living soul. So similarly, body, human body, plus the breath of life, it will become a human soul, dear brethren. You see, just a TV, it won't function. Just current also, it won't function. So both of things has to be combined properly. Then only the program will come. Similarly, then only a human soul will be alive, come to life. Actually, this word, human soul or soul, appears more than 100 times in Genesis 1st chapter, 2nd chapter, few chapters where God's creation is mentioned. But the translators have mistranslated everywhere and removed that word soul. You see, the breathing soul, everything, they have removed it, you see, and put other words like life, creature, beast, you see. So they replaced it. Else, when we just casually read the Bible without studying it, nobody can understand. Like for example, read Genesis 2:19. Emmanuel brother, can you read Genesis 2:19?
Genesis 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he could call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof.
You see, he says no. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature. Actually, the original translation, you know, how does it come? And whatsoever Adam called every living soul, that was the name thereof. That word creature, the root meaning is actually from the soul. Here, they're translated as creature. You see, dear brethren, now how do we identify it? How do we check it? How do we study it? Dear brethren, to study the Bible, we need a concordance. You see, in the first class, we studied about how to study the Bible, where we told a small information about the concordance. See, today, the concordances are widely available. You see, you can download it anywhere. You see, there, the root meaning of the Hebrew and the Greek word is clearly mentioned in the concordance. So, if you search for soul, you see, the Hebrew word that is used for soul is nephesh. The word nephesh actually means breathing creature. This is the word that is replaced in Genesis 1st chapter and 2nd chapter in the King James Version. And the Strong's Concordance number is 5315. And this appears 436 times in the Old Testament. And they are translated in 36 types, dear brethren. 36 various types. This has been what? Translated. And the Greek word for soul is suki. It's the same meaning of the Old Testament. It actually comes 56 times. It is translated 4 different times, dear brethren. You see, in Genesis and etc., various ways, various places and all. Let us see a few examples. Okay? Mark 10:45. You see, Mark 10:45. Who can read? Vinod brother, can you read Mark 10:45?
Okay, sir. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Okay. Give his life a ransom for many. That word life is actually the word soul. It is the same Greek word suki there. You see, here, instead of mentioning soul, what they have translated, they put life. You see, some places they put correctly. We'll show you. We'll show all these things right now in a few minutes. But here, instead of putting that word soul, they have translated as life. Why? Because their mind is already fixed. That's man, soul is immortal. As soon as a soul dies, it will go to hell or heaven. This is the same thought they have translated the Bible. So wherever the particular important verses come, they have replaced it. But God has his own plan. He has kept the translation some places intact also. We'll see those things. So here, this is actually the same verse that is quoted from Isaiah 53. Jesus poured out his soul unto death. Jesus gave his soul as an offering. You see, same. To give his life as a ransom. To give his life as a offering. Give his soul as offering. Same words, dear brethren. Read 1 John 3:16 also. Vinod brother, please read 1 John 3:16 also, brother.
Okay, sir. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he set down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
You see, he laid down his life. We also have to lay down our life. Jesus actually laid down his soul on the altar as offering. Similarly, we should also, you see, sacrifice our souls. Okay. Now read Mark 8, 35 to 37. There, you can clearly identify the difference. Mark 8, chapter 35 to 37. Vinod brother, please read.
Okay, sir. So whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for any sake and the gospels, the same shall save it for...
One minute. Let me explain this verse. See, observe it correctly. Verse 35, what is it verse used? Life. Everywhere life came. Correct, no? Huh? Now read... Continue reading, brother. Verse 36 and 37, brother. Everybody pay attention. Carefully observe your Bible. Open your Bible and please see it for yourself. Read verse 36 and 37, brother.
Okay, sir.
Read. Brother, read.
Can I?
Okay, sir. Okay. The same shall save it, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
See, automatically they change it over to soul. You know, verse 35 is speaking about life now. How many change it immediately to soul? You see, dear brethren, the same Greek words are used there. They could have easily used in verse 35 the word soul, or else they could have used in verse 36 the word life. Why did not I use it? Because, dear brethren, they have the concept about immortal soul. What can you give for exchange for your saving of your soul? Oh, saving of soul is important. You see, therefore, they put the wherever their idea is suitable, they put that word soul. You see, and wherever it is objecting their idea, they remove that original word soul. Everywhere you can do the same, no? Why use multiple words? Dear brethren, this, you see, is a clear proof that the word, you see, soul is mistranslated in many of the Bible. Jesus actually poured out his soul as a sin offering to redeem the souls of the entire mankind. Okay, now let us come to the Hebrew word, what we saw as breath of life. That Hebrew word is actually ruah. You know, what is the ruah actually means in English? It's the word spirit. You see, it is the same word that is used for the God's Holy Spirit also. We're going to study all these things in the coming classes, God willing, we'll see. Okay, it's the same word that is used. And you know what is the meaning of that one? It means the breath or the power, the invisible power, the invisible breath. And it is the same Strong's Concordance, you see, book. And Strong's Concordance number is H7307, Ruah. Then, in Greek, the word for spirit or the breath of life is pneuma. You see, again, it's the same meaning. You see, the power, the life, invisible, right to live. You see, you know, pneuma. In science, there is a pneumatic power, you know. If somebody is a science student, they would have observed that one. Pneumatic power, kinetic power, electric power. You see, pneumatic power means what? Something related to air. Dear brethren, you see, this is the actually word that is used there. You see, now what is the definition or the clear understanding of the word breath of life or spirit? You see, it is like the current, what we saw. You see, if the current comes only, you see, what will happen? The TV will start functioning, program will come. Now current, can we see the current? Can we see the current? See, you are all using a mobile or laptop. The current is plugged. Are you able to see the current which is flowing in the wire?
No.
No, we can't see. Even if you go in the street, there are a lot of electric poles, there are a lot of wires, you see, connected. The current will be traveling. But can we see the current? Can we see the power? Can we see? Yes or no?
No.
We can't see. But yet, current is there or not? Huh? Current is there. How do we identify? We should catch and see. Or else, put an electronic gadget and see if it is working or not. Correct, no? Or else, you have the particular meter to test and see if the current is there or not. This is the same way, the same, you see, translation that is used in the Bible, saying it is an invisible power. Let us read how this word spirit, you see, is translated in different ways in the Bible. Okay? But yet, all gives the same meaning. Okay? Now, let us read John 4:24. Saiji brother, you're there? John 4:24. Can you read, brother? Oh, Saiji brother, you're there? Okay. Stephen brother, can you read? Stephen brother, you're there?
John 4:24.
Okay.
Yes, John 4. 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Now, what does it mean? God is a spirit means, can we see God? Can we see God with our naked eyes? Can we see God? I'm asking a question. Can we see God with our naked eyes?
No.
We can't see because he's a spirit. Jesus, that's what Jesus said. You see, the Samaritan woman told, we'll go to the mountain to worship God. What did Jesus say? A time is going to come. No need to go to temple or any mountain to worship God. And they went to Mount Sinai. You see, no. God is invisible. He's a spirit. He is a spirit being. He is everywhere. You can't see him. They that worship him should worship him in spirit and in truth. That means what? God is invisible. Head is powerful. So see, if God is invisible, does it mean that he is not there at all? Does it mean that he doesn't have any power? No. He is invisible yet powerful. Yes, no? We can't see God, but then God is powerful or not? God is powerful or not?
Yes,
of course.
Very good.
He is powerful.
Yes. John 6:63, brother. John 6:63. Saiji brother, you're there? Okay, Binod brother, read. John 6:63.
Okay, sir. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
You see, what did Jesus say? See, it is the spirit that quickened. You see, that's what quickened Adam. God gave him the breath of life. Then only man became a living spirit, living soul. What does he say? The words which I speak, they are spirit unto you. They are life. Now, what is the meaning of Jesus' words or spirit? See, Jesus spoke so many words. You see, I am also speaking so many words. Can you see these words? Can you see the words? Tell me, can you see the words? Everybody,
we can understand it. Yeah. We can understand.
We can see or not?
We can see.
We can't see. That is invisible. That is invisible. But imagine, dear brethren, these words are powerful or not?
Powerful.
Yes, powerful. God's words, what Jesus spoke, is still powerful. Imagine, dear brethren, we haven't seen Jesus, but yet these words are so powerful. This is bringing out changes in our life. This is the spirit, invisible power. This is the same Greek word that is translated here. You see, what does it mean? It is invisible, yet powerful. Read 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Timothy 1:7. Abhishek brother, can you read 1 Timothy 1:7?
For God had not given us the spirit. It is 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy 1:7.
2 Timothy 1:7.
Yes.
For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind.
See? It is not the spirit of fear, but power. Spirit of power. It is invisible. We can't see it. Can we see power? We can't see power. That is invisible. Read Acts 19:21. Santosh Pudar, you're there? Acts 19:21. Can you read, brother?
Acts 19:21. Hello. Yeah. After these things were ended, Paul proposed in the spirit when he had passed the Macedonia and how you call it?
Athena.
Yeah. To go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome.
You see, Paul purposed in spirit to go, you see, through Macedonia to Jerusalem. Now, how did Paul decide this one? The Bible says he decided in spirit. Spirit means what? You see, it is his mind. Where do we take the decisions? It's in our mind. That mind is called as spirit in the Bible. Now, can we see somebody's mind? Can we read somebody's mind? Can we see, can we read somebody's mind, brother?
No, we cannot.
No. That is somebody's feeling. We can't see it. We need to understand it. It is invisible yet powerful. Some people say, no, you're not able to understand my mind. Please understand me. You see, brethren, those are the feelings that is invisible. This is the same way, dear brethren. When God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, God did not give only oxygen. No, 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 no. Only oxygen is of no use. Why? Imagine if somebody is dead. If you take to the hospital, if you pump in oxygen, will he live? No. Why? It is only oxygen. But that which God gave to Adam was not only oxygen. It is the breath of life. The oxygen along with the right to live. The invisible right to live, which comes only from God. Dear brethren, this is what God gave to Adam. The invisible power, the invisible right to live in this earth. You know, dear brethren, God has given the same thing to animals also. God has given the same thing to humans also. Both have the same breath of life. We don't have any, breath of life, and they don't have any different breath of life. Both have the same. That's what the Bible says. Read Ecclesiastes 3rd chapter 19 to 21. Saiji brother, you're there?
Yes, brother.
Third chapter, brother, 19 to 21. Hope you are following.
For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth thee. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yeah. They have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity.
They don't have any preeminence in breath. All have the same breath of life. All have one breath. There's no differentiation between animals and man regarding the breath of life. You see, both have the same. Now continue, brother.
All go on to one place. All are of dust and all tend to dust.
This is the main point, underline. They all go to same place means what? Hell and heaven. What is Solomon said? They all go to dust, underline it. Continue with the next.
Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to them?
You see, who knows? It will go up or down. Nobody knows, dear brethren. So all go to the same place. So the difference between man and animals, if you see, you can just see this chart. Animals are so gigantic compared to human beings. But see their brain compared to their body, their brain should be very, very huge. But you see the brains, they're all so small. But compared to the human being, 1/8 of his body weight is of his brain. So the superiority of man compared to the animals is not in the breath of life, but the body organism. You see, man has a superior brain. A superior body which his brain can control and use all these things. Like for example, man can do calculations, go, drive, eat, travel, climb, fly, everything he can do. You see, and can animals do it? No, animals can wear clothes to a certain extent, but can we tell them to do some mathematical computer calculations? No, they can ride some cycles or bicycles in the, you see, where? In the circus. But can they travel and take us as a driver to the car office in a car? No, they can eat some ice cream, but we can't tell them to cook food. Because, dear brethren, there is a difference in the body organism, dear brethren. Therefore, you see, this, you see, spirit which God gave to mankind, it is the same thing that God has given to all the animals also. There is no differentiation. But God gave it to Adam on a condition that you should not eat the fruit thereof. In the day you eat the fruit thereof, what will happen? You shall surely die. Isn't it? So what happened? Adam ate the fruit, you see. And what happened? God took away the breath of life. So Adam became the same condition as he was before the creation. That means he was formed from the dust and he went back to the dust. Read Genesis 3:19. Emmanuel brother, can you read Genesis 3:19?
Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
You see, for dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. Bible clearly says, God did not say, for dust thou art, and unto hell and heaven you will return. No. He said, dust you are, you shall go to dust only. You see, therefore, Ecclesiastes, Solomon also told the same thing. What happens to man when a man dies? Read Ecclesiastes 12:7 also, brother. Emmanuel, brother, Ecclesiastes 12:7 also.
Okay, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth, and it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
You see, very clearly said, no? You see, the man shall return to the dust. His body shall return to the dust. But the spirit, the breath of life which God gave, he shall return to God. The same word is translated here as the spirit. It is the same breath of life which God gave to Adam, dear brethren. So, it will be the same reverse condition of what Adam was created. So, when we say that the spirit returns to God, it doesn't mean that something visibly returned to God. Like, for example, see, we live in a rented house. Okay? We actually rent a house for rent, isn't it? We pay the money and take it for rent. Does it mean that the house is transferred to us? That means the house completely moves to us? No. House, property, everything will be there only. But what happens? The right to live in this house, the invisible power to live in this house, that actually transfers from the owner to the tenant. You see? But what happens if the period gets over? You see? If the period gets over, immediately the power is transferred back to the owner. Though you may be staying in the same house, though you may be staying in the rented house, no problem. But the power, the right to live in that house, the invisible right to live in this house, that again transfers back to the, you see, owner. Doesn't mean that the house moves from here to the owner's house to tenant house. No. Everything will be there same. So similarly, when God took away the breath of life, nothing visibly went out. It's an invisible power, the right to live, that actually God took away. Okay, dear brethren, therefore, you see, when God took away the breath of life, not that the soul went away from his body. Everybody thinks the same way. No, nothing visibly went out. It's an invisible spirit which God had given the right to live, the power to live on this earth. This went out from him. This is clearly shown to us, you know, where Jesus died on the cross. Now, what did Jesus say? Let us read that verse, brother. Luke 23:46, brother. Luke 23:46. Stephen, brother, read Luke 23:46.
Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus,
into thy hands I commend my spirit. He surrendered the breath of life to God. Even then only he died. You see, so how did Jesus die? He gave out the breath of life. He did not give out the soul. Did he say, Oh Lord, please receive my soul? Did he say that one? No, everybody today at the graveyard tell, oh, his soul is gone to heaven, he's getting peace. Jesus, what did he say? Into thy hands I commend my spirit. The right to live on this earth was given to Jesus by God. This one is surrendered back to God. What did he tell to Pilate? Pilate told, I have right to give you life and death. What did Jesus say? You don't have any power over me until it was given by my Father unto you. Dear brethren, so that invisible power, Jesus gave it back to God. Read John 10 chapter, brother. 17 and 18, brother. Stephen, brother. John 10 chapter 17 and 18 also. Ten chapters, 17 and 18.
Yeah. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
You see, nobody has power over me. I laid down myself voluntarily. So Jesus gave his life, the spirit, the invisible, the breath of life, the right to live. That's what Jesus gave. Remember Stephen also? Stephen was stoned and killed. What did Stephen say? He said the same words. Read Acts 7:59. Emmanuel, brother, can you read Acts 7:59?
Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.
See? Receive my spirit. Did you say receive my soul? Receive my spirit. The breath of life, the right to live. That is what you see Stephen surrendered to God. You see, and nobody has got power to retain this breath of life without, discharging it. You see, nobody has got this right. Read Ecclesiastes 8, chapter 8, verse. Sage Buddha, can you read Ecclesiastes 8, 8?
Yes, brother. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no wisdom in that one, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it.
You see, nobody can retain the spirit, the breath of life. You see, can we control it? You see, can doctor infuse oxygen and bring somebody to life? If that was the case, so many people would have lived in COVID time. Nobody would have died. Everybody would have taken oxygen and kept it in the house. Oxygen, this is not it. It is the right to live. It is coming only from God. God should give us the permission to live on this earth, Devadran. Therefore, Devadran, you see, the things what we have studied today, the summary is beautifully given to us in Ezekiel 37 chapter. Everybody, please open your Bible to Ezekiel 37 chapter. See, Ezekiel 37 chapter is a beautiful, you see, demonstration of the vision of God. Ezekiel was taken to a valley where there was completely filled with dry bones. And God asked, Ezekiel, do you think these bones will live? Ezekiel told God, you only know it. Then God told, prophesy to this, bones. And as he prophesied, what happened? Immediately bones came, one upon the other, bones came and joined together. You see, then what happened? One by one, sinews came, the nerves came, the flesh came, the skin came, everything came, but there was no breath at all. Read Ezekiel 37, 7 and 8. Binod brother, can you read Ezekiel 37, 7 and 8? Oh, Saiji brother, you're there. You can read, no problem.
So I prophesied as I was commanded, and As I prophesied, there was noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the signs and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them.
See, what happened to him, sir? You see, so I prophesied and was commanded, and as prophesied, there was a noise. Behold, a shaking, bones came together, bone to bone. And when I behold, lo, the sinews, the flesh, you see, came upon them and skin covered. You see, but there was no breath in them. Underline, dear brethren, there was no breath in them. God did not say there was no soul in them. There was no breath. Then what happened? Then what happened? You see, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10, brother. Read a little bit loudly, brother.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe, and O breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
You see, what did God say? Come from the four winds, O breath, O breath. God did not say, come from the four winds, O soul, soul, please come, soul. Everything. So resurrection means what? Means soul will be there, it seems, in all heaven. Body will raise, the soul will join together. Where does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? See clearly. Body will raise, the spirit, the breath of life, the right to live, who will give? God will give. That breath will come inside this dead body. And what will happen, brother? Verse 10.
So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, and exceeding great army.
They stood upon their feet and became exceeding great army. You see, dear brethren, they stood upon their feet, they lived. This is the clear explanation of the human soul. Dear brethren, so body plus spirit only is the soul. You see, dear brethren, so this is the concept of a soul, what the Bible says about soul. So, in next week, we are going to see then in depth what actually happens to man. Okay? What is the process of death? What does the Bible say? Bible clearly gives the explanation for it. We are going to study next week. So this is the study. We are not just giving some discourse. So dear brethren, please kindly understand. This is a study. We want everybody's involvement, everybody's interaction, everybody's interest. You see, that is the thing which is required here. Everybody should study it. Our main motive is that the truth should reach to each and every Christians in this world. Dear brethren, therefore, study it. We'll be sending the notes and a YouTube link also. Please go through it. Any doubts you have, we'll discuss. So next week, we'll continue the class. And next week, we'll see what actually happens to the man after death. Okay? Then after that one, we'll be seeing so many scriptures which says, which gives us the idea. Mind my words. It gives us the idea where soul doesn't die. It goes here and there. So many ideas are there in the Bible. We will see each and every verses from the Bible, each and every concept, each and every incident from the Bible. Okay? So, okay. Has anybody got any questions in today's class? You want to ask, you can ask. Or else if you want to stay till the end of this study, it's well and good. Not a issue.